So welcome back to the Students Heard podcast, the podcast brought to you by Student Life and Learning, which is the central hub for student supports. On today's podcast, I'm joined by Anne-Marie Quigley, who is head of the student counselling team here within the college. Hi Anne-Marie, how are you?
Hi Gary, I'm really good.
Very welcome back to the podcast. So today Anne-Marie has joined us to talk about a group that's coming up to help you with the tools to manage your social anxiety. So Anne-Marie, do you want to describe the workshop that's happening and when that's happening and when that's taking place?
Yeah, thanks Gary. So this is a workshop that we run repeatedly. So the next group is starting on Tuesday the 5th of March, which is Tuesday of next week. So any student who would like to join that group can do so by just sending an email to the Student Counselling Service and simply send an email with social anxiety in the subject bar. So the group is being run by my colleague Stefan Green, and Stefan will reply individually to every student who gets in touch to inquire about the group. And it will run over a period of 6 weeks on Tuesday evenings from 5:30 to 6:30 on the Cork Road campus. Stefan will give the specific details to each individual student as they get in touch. And the thing to know about this group is that it is incredibly gentle. The whole ethos of the group is that it's an incredibly gentle space for people who experience social anxiety to work together on developing skills to manage that anxiety. And Stefan will support all of the participants in the group in every step of that journey.
Can you describe now a little bit about what social anxiety is and what the cohort of people that might be attending this could be?
Yeah, so the group is open to any student who wants to be involved, who feels that they have social anxiety or who has a formal diagnosis of social anxiety, but it's not required that you have a formal clinical diagnosis of social anxiety. So, for example, any student who feels that they struggle to be in social environments, be in groups, operate in groups, feel comfortable in groups, and in particular who may feel a pressure of needing to perform or to be seen in a certain way within a group, and when that way that they want to be seen doesn't match with their real self, for want of a better word, that can be an indicator that someone is experiencing social anxiety, and very importantly, where those symptoms are persistent. So we can all have a bad day or a bad couple of days where we feel totally awkward and uncomfortable in ourselves and, you know, feel really out of kilter and don't want to mix with people and don't want to be, you know, in project work groups or making presentations. So I'm not talking about someone who's having a couple of bad days. I'm talking about somebody whose persistent experience is one where they're very, very ill at ease in social situations.
How does it then differ? So you said there we all have our bad days and there's some days it's just, it's not going well for us. But so how does social anxiety differ to just generalised anxiety?
So that's a really good question, actually. The two are not mutually exclusive. It's possible to have generalised anxiety and to feel really anxious in social settings. Okay, but how, so some of the criteria that might help us to recognise social anxiety are, first of all, onset. Not always, but very often the onset of social anxiety happens somewhere in the teens or in early adulthood. And it some of the features of social anxiety would include feeling very awkward, as I've already said, in social situations, even in social situations that are quite familiar. So let's say the classroom, where hopefully you're going most of the days of the week to sit among the same group who you hopefully mix with most of the days of the week, feeling intensely uncomfortable in there. And there's a characteristic where part of that discomfort is around a preoccupation with what other people are or might be thinking about me. And there's also a characteristic which is around it's described as performance, but it's anything where we need to do a task, display knowledge, where we might be evaluated by another person. So I'm not just talking about formal assessments where you're evaluated by your lecturers, but let's say, you know, how did I sound when I asked or answered that question in class? So anywhere that you kind of push even a little bit out of your comfort zone. And that can extend then to just to very close social settings. So even if I'm sitting with my group of friends who I know quite well, social anxiety typically would include a preoccupation with, oh my God, did I say too much? Was that a stupid thing to say? What do they think of what I said? Yeah. Do they all think I'm whatever?
Yeah. So it differs from, let's say, that first day you go into your new classroom or the first day you're meeting these new people and you're going to be a bit anxious about the first impression.
Yeah.
But then if it's a constant trend of every time I'm going to class,
exactly,
oh my God, what is my lecturer going to think of me when I'm sitting here and I'm just looking at them?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And another feature of social anxiety is that people tend to develop strategies to help them feel safer, feel like they can cope. So some of those are behavioural strategies that perhaps other people might see. So for example, always sitting at the edge of a row of seats, always sitting near the door. But some could be very internalised and only known to yourself. So things like, you know, I'll get through this lecture fine if I just manage to keep my feet firmly planted on the ground the whole way through, or if I do A, B or C unrelated thing.
If I was a friend to someone that had social anxiety, how could I go, in your opinion, how could I go about supporting my friend that has social anxiety?
So just to include them, to reassure them. And very importantly, people who have social anxiety will tend to put lots of energy into avoiding social interaction. So providing your friend with as many gentle opportunities to be in small, familiar, comfortable, gentle, supportive social groups would be a great thing to do.
With that then, with the group that you're holding, the workshops that you're holding, how does it make sense then to have someone with social anxiety going into a group of an unfamiliar kind of setting?
Yeah.
How does that work?
So we are really keenly aware, and Stefan in particular is extremely aware, that what he's asking to do students by inviting them to this group is he's asking them to do the thing that is the most uncomfortable for them. But what we know is that the only way for us to break down those beliefs around our unsafety or our inability to operate in social situations is to challenge those faulty beliefs by diving right in and doing the thing that I absolutely acknowledge is can be excruciating for someone with social anxiety, is to come and sit in a group of strangers. And on that point, again, I'll just say the format of the group is incredibly supportive. So Stefan supports participants at every step of the process. And he absolutely acknowledges that it's extremely difficult to put your foot inside the door in the first instance. And the ethos of the group is one of support. So every individual will be supporting all of the other individuals in there.
Do students have to commit to the group, or can they go the first day and say, you know, I don't know if this is for me?
Yeah, exactly. So that's a really good question. So we would hope that people would be able to come for the full duration of the course. But this group, like everything that we do in the counselling service, is voluntary. So it's absolutely up to each individual whether they come in the first place or whether they want to stay. So, yeah, I certainly, you know, in terms of invitations, I would, if anyone has any curiosity, I would absolutely urge them to make contact by email and to have that initial conversation with Stefan. Stefan has a lengthy conversation, either in person or by Zoom, depending on the student's preference, with everybody who's interested in the group. And he explains all elements of it. But, you know, of course, people are, they're free to come to the first group and walk out halfway. Absolutely nobody is going to stop them. But our hope and our experiences from when we've run this group is that the people who take that really difficult step to push themselves outside their comfort zone and join the group in the first instance, in general, will stay the course.
You've already achieved so much by coming to college, and that's a huge achievement
in
itself.
Absolutely.
And this group can only benefit you. It might be daunting, it might be scary, but think about, you've done it before, where you've stepped into that new, out of your comfort zone a little bit, to kind of benefit yourself.
Yeah. And there is a really, really clear goal at the end of the group. And the goal is to have a little bit more ease, or hopefully a lot more ease, or a lot more comfort in social situations. And again, like a lot of what we do in the Student Counselling Service, this is development of a transferable skill that, yeah, will be really beneficial in class, but it will be your skill to take away, and it will benefit you, and you can put it into use in every area of your life.
With that, you say engaging in a group is one coping mechanism. Have you got any other coping mechanisms now for social anxiety?
Yeah. So I know this is really difficult, but I would encourage anybody who has or thinks they have social anxiety is to just identify, what is the smallest step I can take today to challenge this fear I have about engagement? A reality is that when we're feeling anxious, our brain tells us to disengage from people. However, what we know from oodles and oodles of clinical research is that engagement, social engagement, engagement with social support, interacting with people is incredibly curative, positive and helpful for anybody who's experiencing any type of reality. And so that's not even in the context of a friendship. That's any positive social interaction. So as an example of pushing yourself a tiny bit outside of your comfort zone, that might not look like sitting down and having a chat with your classmate. That might be way too much. But what about trying to make eye contact with the person who is helping you in a shop? What about saying thank you to the bus driver, or even waving your hand to do like a thank you wave to the bus driver as you're getting off the bus? If you're in student accommodation, what about a smile and nod at the warden in your accommodation as you go past today?
The thing we have to remember with the comfort zone is that we're seeing so much of people stepping out of their comfort zone and, let's say, going skydiving, but your comfort zone is so much different to someone else's, and you stepping out of your comfort zone might be those small steps for you that kind of help you in the long run.
Yeah.
I suppose for one that I seen was just journaling, just writing down the fears of like what's going to happen here and what I'm afraid of in the social situation. And then looking at it from that piece and just writing it down, getting it down to paper.
Yeah.
Not sure if it works, but that's what I've seen.
Well, I think anything that we do to externalize negative thoughts, to literally dump them out of our head onto a piece of paper, into a digital note or whatever, is really, really good. And something I would also ask people to think about is, if you do something, as like Gary has just described, if you journal about your fears, it would be an incredibly useful exercise just to go back to what you've written just for 30 seconds, 60 seconds with a red pen, and scratch off the list of anything that you were fearful that would happen that in reality didn't happen. Because the thing about the things that we fear in social anxiety is that a minuscule number of them actually happen, but our anxiety around the things that might happen is a lot of what controls our behaviour and limits our social interaction. And you can see, therefore, that a cycle, a really negative cycle, gets set up. I fear discomfort, so I don't engage socially. So my skills at social engagement reduce. So I feel I'm less able to interact, so I interact less. And round and round and round we go in that really uncomfortable cycle. which is actually very hard work. Yeah. Navigating the world can be exhausting for a person who has social anxiety, because there are scenarios and imagined risks, etc., that people are computing through their head all the time. So life can be really complicated and really exhausting for someone who's living with social anxiety.
I think another resource for students then for that, like that, to talk or to put down onto like digitally would be Togetherall. I think that's an amazing tool that they have for them, because you're not in a classroom with someone, it's online, you're not seeing them, and you might be able to just communicate with someone over
exactly. The peer support forums on togetherall.com are an excellent resource, and there are journaling tools within togetherall.com, and there are also e-learning modules on lots of really relevant topics, including anxiety and social anxiety. So yeah, that's a really, really good suggestion, Gary, is for any student to register as a member of togetherall.com by going to the registration page, which you'll find by searching togetherall.com, and using your SETU student email to sign up.
Perfect. Thank you, Anne-Marie, for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so if you're interested in attending the social anxiety workshop or group, it is starting
on Tuesday the 5th. However, if you express an interest and the group starting next Tuesday is full, we will hang on to your email and we'll contact you again the next time we run a new group and invite you to join that group.
Yeah, so don't be worried about emailing and feeling like, oh, the group is going to be full. Mm-hmm. Email and register your interest.
Absolutely.
It will be hugely beneficial for you and help you achieve your goals this year. Thank you for listening. This has been the Student Health Podcast. I'm Gary, and we are Student Life and Learning.